50 years ago, a California newspaper carried a story about a discovery that astronomers made at the observatory in the University of California. They picked up radio signals from a body in space they estimated to be 50 million light years from the Earth. And at that time, that was a major discovery. Prior to that, the most distant object known was 10 million light years from Earth. Well, these kind of distances, which we now even know far more about, are incomprehensible to us, but they illustrate the infinite borders of God's boundaries of God's steadfast love. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. We're talking about the love of God. And my friends, it's unfathomable. But by the Spirit of God's power, we can begin to understand it. And it's very important that we do. A gentleman who professed to be a believer was taken seriously ill. And he was very troubled at that time about what he sensed was very little love in his heart. You know, when you face very difficult circumstances, you begin to evaluate yourself very carefully. And he felt that his heart for God was not where it should be. And he spoke about this to a godly friend. And the friend answered him very wisely. He says, you know, when I go from home from here, I expect to take my little baby on my knee and look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and tired as I am, her presence will rest me. For I love that child with unutterable tenderness. But she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it would not disturb her sleep. If my body were racked with pain, it would not interrupt her pain. Her play. If I were dead, she would forget me in a few days. Besides this, she has never brought me a penny, but she's been a constant expense to me. I am not rich, but there is not money enough in the world to buy my baby. How is it? Does she love me, or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until she begins to love me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before extending it? Well, that practical illustration by that wise friend caused tears to roll down the sick man's face as he began to understand the love of God for his children. And he said, oh, I see. It is not my love to God, but God's love for me that I should be thinking of. And now, thinking of him, I do love him now as I have never loved him before. And so we do need to start with understanding the love of God. I'd like you to turn with me to our theme verse for this whole emphasis that we're having. In these next months, we're going to be looking at the love of God, accepting it and extending it from many different passages, but we're going to initially start here in this wonderful book of 1 John, talking about the wonderful fellowship that we can have with the Lord. And so let me read the two key verses, and then I'm going to go back a little bit in this passage and look at the meaning of it in a little more detail. Verses 10 and 11, 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Accept it, extend it. Well, let's look first of all here at this matter of accepting it. I'd like to back up to verse 7 for the context just really fills this out. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. My friends, we wouldn't know a thing about love were it not for the extension of God's love for us. Love is of God. God is love. In John chapter 15, this very same apostle under inspiration wrote that wonderful chapter on abiding in Christ. And in verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue or abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, if you'll cherish my commandments, if you will then do my commandments because they are important to you, ye shall abide, ye shall remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here you see the love of the apostle here in 1 John 4 for those that he's writing to, beloved. I mean, it's just coming out of his heart. And we see the importance of us as believers abiding, remaining in the full understanding of the love of God. My friends, from him flows as one spring this matter of love. And if we stay in connection with God, I want you to get this, we have an unbroken source of an awareness of God's love. There is no reason for a believer to have to be lonely, though some circumstances can be extremely lonely, and to feel not loved, to feel neglected, because we are loved, and if we will abide in him, we will experience that love. And so it says here, we need to realize that love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. That's the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And we can then begin to know by experience that love. John Wesley, the great leader of the revivals in the 1700s in England, said, though waves and storms go o'er my head, though strength and health and friends are gone, though joys be withered all and dead, though every comfort be withdrawn, on this my steadfast soul relies. Father, thy mercy never dies. Fixed on this ground will I remain, though my heart fail and flesh decay. This anchor shall my soul sustain when earth's foundations melt away. Mercy's full power I then shall prove, loved with an everlasting love. And so we need to get it in our hearts and minds. God's immutable, God's eternal, he is everlasting, and his love for us is the same. That's good news, folks. He's not like us, fickle, up and down, commitment, lack of commitment. He loves us. But we do need to see the revelation of his true love. It comes through his power. And it is something that we need to live in, knowing God. Galatians 5:22, you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, throughout this message here this morning, I'm going to be covering a number of very practical matters, things we know but we often let slip. And I believe that it's very important for us to go back to the basics. And here at the beginning of this ministry year, I'm going to cover a number of things that are just part of body life, that are part of a believer's life. And I trust you'll take this very seriously here this morning. He loves us. That's a fact. We need to accept it. But my friends, we need to know it by experience. And so we need to have a personal walk with God. We have had entire years that we have spent in looking at this matter of prayer. But I want to encourage you to take that concept of extended prayer. And many of you endeavor daily to spend an hour with God. You say, Pastor, that's an incredible thought. It does rearrange modern life. Technology has to be brought under great control. Priorities have to be changed. But I'm telling you, in this dark and troublesome day, the believer that says, I am going to spend time with my God and know him through the word and know him in extended prayer, those are the Christians that will know the love of God. You draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. The love of God is there. He is ready to reveal himself. But oh, how we need to have that heart to come to him. And maybe over the years you've let your time slip. I want to encourage you here at this front end of this school year, this ministry year, as we go into the fall, my friends, God wants to fellowship with you. He's knocking on your heart's door. He loves you. He wants to be able to tell you all day long, I love you. He wants to be able to meet the deep need of your heart. And we'll never have love for others. You see, our theme this year is really the secret for us to be able to have the impact in a very troubling day. We've got to have a very solid, real walk with God. Now you say, well, how can you do that? Well, we introduced several years ago what we call the Christ Walk Journal. And the Christ Walk Journal gives you a pattern of how to walk with God 5 minutes, 5 minutes on different subjects, starting off with worshiping the Lord through praise and then waiting on the Lord, confession of sin, spiritual warfare, promises of God, intercession, thanksgiving, then a time of meditation on God's word, looking to God for wisdom, and then finishing with singing and praising the Lord. It's a very simple pattern, and it can be a great help. And if you don't know about that, please ask someone about it. Many of you do. And the Christ Walk Journal will be a great blessing to you. John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now, let me stop there. This again is in that discourse that the Lord Jesus gave his disciples on the way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says this absolutely striking truth, as the Father loves me, how much does the Father love the Son? Absolute, perfect love in the Trinity. As he loves me, Jesus said, with that same love, so have I loved you. So I want you to abide in my love. If you keep, cherish my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I'll emphasize this now twice here in this passage from John 15. And my friends, you've got to stay in the presence of God. Let me just say, everything we do in ministry here at Falls Baptist Church will be for naught if the majority of God's people here are not walking in the presence of the love of God. You cannot shortcut your time with God. You can't do it. Now, God's gracious. He's good. He meets the needs of his children, but you're not going to get to know him. You're not going to get to be in the place of realizing the fullness of what God can do and to have the power to walk by faith. You know, sunflowers are beautiful flowers. They start off as little tiny sprouts. And the reason they're called sunflowers is because they follow the sun. If you've ever studied them, it's very interesting. The sun rises in the east, and they're all leaning to the east. And the sun sets in the west, and they're all pointed west. And they're very productive. They have a lot of seeds. If you're in certain places, you'll see sunflowers everywhere. I mean, they're almost out of control. But the reason they're productive is they're always looking for the sun. They always locate the sun. And because they're always looking for the sun, they're always growing. Pretty good illustration, isn't it? All day long, we ought to have our heart in tune with the Son of God. And that's where blessing comes. Now, let me just do a little family chat here. Folks, we have seen what it's like when there has been pressure not to meet together. And we realize the importance, according to the New Testament, of God's people meeting together, hearing the preaching of God's word and so forth. And so I want to say that it is vital that we are all not only having our personal time, but God has instituted the church. He works in this dispensation through the local church. And the preaching of God's word is God's plan for today. And when you miss out on that, you're missing a great part of how God reveals himself today. Lee Robertson was the pastor of the Great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee for many years, and he made that little famous statement, three to thrive. Sunday morning, how important it is. And let me just say this, for these next months, our Sunday morning series is going to be on love, accept it, extend it. And then Sunday evenings is the second of the three to thrive. And we're going to start next week on the book of Exodus, God's deliverance. Did you know that God loves to deliver? Every need you have, God will deliver. And my, what an absolutely graphic and exciting exposition and illustration of God's working is the book of Exodus. And we are looking forward to going through that. And that will complement the matter of loved. And then on Wednesday nights, we will be looking at the need to believe God by faith. God is ready to work. And each of these services are uniquely different. They are not the same. Sometimes people think that, well, it's, you know, you can go to Monday, Sunday morning and Sunday night's the same service. No, they're not. Different messages, total different feel. And they are all important. And I just want to say that the core of any church are those that understand three to thrive. Just like that sunflower, looking as much as possible to the Lord through their own personal time and through the dynamic of the local church to grow. And folks, this matter of serious Christianity, and we need it today. We're not going to see God work. We're not going to stem the tide of what's happening unless God's people get serious about Him. He loves us. He's serious about us. We need to love Him and get serious about Him. And I believe that's very, very important. And then let me say also, our Discovery Bible study on Sunday morning has become a key to people growing in the Lord. Know the Lord's love through genuine fellowship and listening to the Spirit each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. The vast majority of our folks come to that time, and if you want to get to know folks and to have opportunity to dig into the Word of God and to hear from one another and to be stirred and to leave there with a desire to see God work through that time, I encourage you to be part of our Sunday morning Discovery Bible studies. Now, folks, what I just said in this practical application fits very much here. For everyone, the latter part of verse 7, that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, if you really want to know someone, you spend time with them. If you really want to know about something, you're going to learn it. We cannot have just casual Christianity today. Look what's happened in America with casual Christianity. Do you realize that, you know, in most places, there isn't even an opportunity for more than one time to know the Word of God? The Lord said there in the book of Hebrews, as the day is approaching, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's interesting. Well, I don't know what standard that is, because as you look at the book of Acts, how often did they meet in Acts chapter 2? So we're still pretty wimpy when it comes to the New Testament standard. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that. Sometimes I feel like we are. But I'm telling you, there's nothing better than being in the Word of God, nothing better than being with God's people, nothing better than seeing people's lives touched. Folks, that's what life is all about. We got to decide what is important. He loves us, and He wants us to love others, and it's vital that we know Him. Very simple, practical application, but I trust you'll take that seriously here. And let's look at verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, you can talk all you want to about knowing the Lord, but if you're not living a life in which you're really loving one another, and your life is invested in others, then you really have a hard time being, it's not real genuine to say that I love the Lord. You know, if we struggle with anger, irritation, selfishness, priorities that are not really given to meet the needs of one another, whether it be those that are saved or those that need to hear the gospel, if our lives just spin along and we go through and just doing really what we want to do, well, that means we don't love. For God is love. He that loveth not, you don't know God. That's what he's saying. And pretty strong language. Remember, if you've been on the series on Sunday nights, we've been talking about the fact that the whole thrust of this book, the Apostle John wants us to walk with God and to know him. He was thrilled about that privilege that he had. And so God wants us to walk in that way. And I remember the story of Jonathan Goforth, how that he was so frustrated about his life and it wasn't what it ought to be, and his wife was struggling, and then God dealt with him. Dealt with him about the deep motives of his heart, and he began to start meeting with God, and everything began to change. And we need to realize that we're not in fellowship with God if we are not really loving him and spending that time with him. And let me just say, too, a couple of more practical applications as we unveil this year. As you know, we have our Disciple U tracks. And those are at 5 o'clock throughout the year. And these are for folks to grow in the Lord. Very specific areas, such as how to give the gospel, family life, how to handle our finances. If you have addictions, especially in the sexual area, dealing with those straight on in our conquer groups. We have just dealing with a total life change in our seven pillars groups. And on it goes. There's very helpful sessions that will help you be discipled and overcome the things that keep you from walking with God. And then let me just encourage you, are you being discipled right now? You see, we need to allow God's love to be seen through somebody that's investing in our life. Did you know that every administrative and pastoral staff member here at Falls Baptist Church is being discipled? We believe that we need one another. Many of you have asked for that, and last year we had that emphasis. We're going to ramp that up this year. And, we'd like to hide. We really don't want to be that open in our life. But somebody that you can trust, just partnering with you, we have three levels of discipleship. I don't have time to go into that. But my friend, I want to encourage you this year. I've challenged you about, you know, really walking with the Lord, having that extended time, being with God's people, all these things. And you say, oh, I'd like that, but I don't know how to put it all together. Well, let somebody help. And by the way, the person that disciples you, you're going to be a help to them. See, Bible Christianity is always open, honest, and transparent. And that's where great things happen. Now I want to move into verses 9 and 10, the illustration of true love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, no one ever comes on his own to God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My friends, the love of God is not some warm, fuzzy feeling, though that can happen. The love of God is the fact that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven 2,000 years ago, as was planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the Almighty God with the fullness of the glory of God. And yet he came, and very clearly he was sent into this world, born as a human being, but he was sent. He was before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. He was the eternal God. He was fully human, and yet his spirit was fully divine. Why would God humble himself and come to this earth of all things and live 33 years with his creation in this sin-infested earth, and then go to that cross and die on that cross and then have all of the sins of the world put upon him? I'll tell you why. He loves you. Wow. The love of God. God the Father sent his Son. God the Spirit worked through it all. God has feelings. There was very real suffering. Does God have to suffer? No. He chose to suffer. Why? It's called love. And so this was manifested. It was made obvious that, you know, we can look theologically at the love of God, but the love of God is demonstrated. It's illustrated clearly in the fact that he came to this world so that we could have eternal life through him. And I love that word in verse 10, one of our two theme verses. He was the propitiation for our sins. That means he took the wrath. He fully appeased and satisfied the judgment of God. God has perfect, holy wrath. Sin cannot be tolerated. And Jesus Christ bore in him the entire judgment that you and I fully deserve eternally. He bore it in his eternal soul. And God the Father turned his back on God the Son, and the horrible suffering that we deserve, he took upon himself so that we don't have to. And he rose from the grave, proving he won the victory. He appeased the wrath of God. My friends, I stand here not because I'm a preacher, not because I've endeavored to do right. I stand here knowing I'm going to heaven because there was a day when I was younger, I trusted in what Jesus Christ did for me and that he paid the price for my sins. And God, because I put my faith in him, all that Christ did was applied to my life, and I now have the righteousness of Christ, and my sins are as far as the east is from the west. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven, and many of you are too. Isn't that wonderful? A friend, if you're here and never trusted Christ, it's not automatic. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to encourage you folks to understand that the love of God's been manifested, but just like in human relationships, you have to receive it. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You've got to trust him. You've got to believe it's true. You've got to believe you're bad enough. All of us are, that we deserve hell. And it's only through the finished work of Christ that we can go to heaven. But isn't that wonderful news? I don't know why people run from the gospel. It is the best news in the world, and Jesus died for us. Now, I'm going to make an appeal here, going back to the practical application. First of all, if you're here and don't know Christ, I trust this morning that you'll get a hold of the fact you're loved and you'll trust the Lord. But for us as believers, we need to revel in the love of Christ. And one of the ways you do, certainly, is your individual time with the Lord. But what is called the body of Christ? The church, the local church. Falls Baptist Church and other true New Testament churches are the body of Christ. And so as we gather together, there's something very special. And I've already talked about that. But you know, there's something very special where two or three are gathered together, the Savior is there when the church prays. And so I want to encourage you to be part of corporate prayer here at Falls Baptist Church. What we mean by corporate prayer is these are focused times of prayer around the burdens that we as a church have for our area, for our lives, for one another, and the very presence of Christ comes. Most folks here can tell you of prayer meetings that we've had, and when you've left, you've known that Jesus was there. I'm telling you, when you know Jesus is there, everything changes. We have little prayer meetings. We've got big prayer meetings. We have all church prayer meetings. And I'm telling you, the most important life of Falls Baptist Church or any church is the corporate prayer meeting. That's where God leads. That's where God works. That's where God convinces us. And friends, I unapologetically want to challenge you to go to the Lord about this. But prayer meetings and that type of gathering ought to be something you just say, if that is what's happening, I'm going to be there because I want to know my Savior, who is the propitiation for my sins, who has done this for me. I want to know him better. And there's something special about gathering together as God's people. So Wednesday night, that's a special time. We try to, most Wednesday nights, we'll spend time in corporate prayer. And sometimes we divide out for prayer. Those are just sweet times. I just love them. Saturday night, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. That's where God works. That's where church business really gets done. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing what God has done. Even though many of us were at a banquet last night, our men still had, it's for men and ladies, but just some of the men were able to gather. They had a prayer meeting and business was done. Our fellowships, our Bible studies, and then the whole church together, sometimes for hours. Friends, would you be willing, when you hear a prayer meeting, what does your flesh want to do? What does your spirit say? I need to meet with Jesus. It's the same problem you have in having your own special time with God every day. Your flesh doesn't like it, but it is the absolute necessity for the nurturing of your spirit. Well, let me go to verse 11 now, extend it. Spent quite a bit of time on accept it because that's where we're going to spend some time over these next weeks, really understanding the love of God. But verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What's the motivation? Well, I love 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, compels us. It arrests us and causes us to do nothing else. In other words, we need to live for others because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that if he died for all, that they should live, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Friends, if he did do what we know he did do, then it demands, according to Scripture, our all. That should be our motivation. It should compel us. And so we just need to be living. I want you to realize that when you are in the presence of God and living with that reality, then extending it just comes naturally. We're going to give you something a week from Saturday as we have our Sunday school training day. And we're going to give you a special tool. And loved every day, 365 days to know God's love and extend that love to others. It's going to be a wonderful tool for you. It will have one page each day where you accept his love. You'll have a verse given to you, and then you'll restate that and worship the Lord according to that truth about his love for you. And then on the second page of that open booklet there will be to extend that. In which way, to whom will I allow the Lord to be loved by me, basically, is what that says. And my friends, we're going to be explaining how to use it. I just think that's going to be a powerful little simple tool every day. Accept it, extend it. And then on the Sunday school training day, September the 18th, we are going to be learning how to use it and giving it to everyone that will be there. And then, my friends, if God so loved us, we ought to love others. Always we have, as you know, a gospel outreach on a regular basis. And I just want to encourage you this fall to take that. Many, many signed up this last week to say, I will do everything I can to at least one time a week get out for the purpose of showing the love of God and getting the truth of God about salvation out. Friends, people today don't know which way to go. They don't know what's happening, and we have the answer. And if we can at least make that kind of effort, we do not fully appreciate the love of God. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. And keep in mind, when you pray, then as we've seen in our fellowships and individual, when you really get a hold of God, he's going to make it a priority and he's going to give you the boldness to proclaim. Outreach is a miracle, but that's what God loves to do. He will compel us. He will enable us. He will give us that boldness, that openness to be able to declare the truth. I'm telling you, there's nothing more thrilling in our lives than to see God do in us what we know we cannot do ourselves. I'm telling you, when a church is on fire for God, everybody's amazed that God's doing miracles through them. And that's what God wants to do through each one of us. So I want to encourage you to really pray about your participation with your fellowship and your divisions and with church outreaches that we have, and believe that God will use you. So the goal is that every believer has a prioritizing divine time each week to reach out to the lost. Peter McKenzie, a great preacher of a generation ago, lived in England, and he preached an early sermon from John 3:16. This is a famous illustration. Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist, tells us that the preacher, after announcing the text, said, "There are two striking things in my text. When God loves, he loves the whole world. And when he gives his son." And that simple truth, my friends, is the truth that ought to overwhelm us. But it doesn't. I mean, we ought not be able to think any day about that just being my day. There's somebody that needs Jesus. There's somebody that needs to hear about John 3:16. There's somebody that needs to realize that Jesus' son died on the cross for them. And then the demonstration of the love of God. We should love one another. You know, not just an outreach for the lost, but we need to so care for one another that are the gifts that we have and the working of God in our lives makes a difference. Just in the human realm, Celeste Campbell was 14 years of age and she needed a kidney transplant. Every member of the family offered to donate their kidney, but it came down to just one where there was a match. That was Gregory, her brother. He was a senior in high school and he had been accepted at Dartmouth on a football scholarship. And the assistant director of the Children's Kidney Center at the Einstein Division of the hospital there in Bronx said of the operation, "It's a perfect and excellent tissue match. And then he asked Gregory, he says, "This means possibly that you will have to give up your football career." And Gregory replied, "If I can't play, I can't play. It's a small sacrifice for what's going to happen to Celeste." And my friends, both with the gospel and in the lives of Christians that need one another, it's a small sacrifice when you think of a person's future. That's what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us that he gave everything, we ought also to love one another. John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, some final practical applications. As you know, we started Disciple U last year. And God gave us a couple hundred discipleships initially in a year ago. And how we thank the Lord for that. And a number of us have been praying since April for God to give 150 new discipleships by reaching people. And so they would be discipled because they've been given the gospel. We've got good news since then. 30 have been started. That leaves 120 before the Victory Conference, which was our goal. We've been praying about it. 20 new discipleships per month. Do you think we could make that? Think that would please the Lord? Just want you to think about that. I think we ought to seriously pray that God would do abundantly above that. But let's be asking God to use us that way. We have a new level 3 guide of discipleships that we're going to be making available, and it helps folks on every level grow in the Lord. We'll say more about that. And then let me say that one of the ways that you really are able to love one another is our Bible studies and Sunday school every Sunday morning. We've already talked about the need for the Discovery Bible Study, but it's the headquarters for Great Commission work. That's where you love one another. That's where you know the needs. That's where you pray together. That's where you have contacts of people that need the gospel. And much happens. And I want to encourage you to, if God so loved you, be willing to invest yourselves just in one another, even at the Bible study tables. And then, even tonight, as I mentioned, at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about some very serious challenge. Folks, if we would, we could. I thank God for this church. I'm amazed at this church. But what could we do? And that's what we're going to be looking at together at 5 o'clock. I trust you'll make that a priority. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Everyone is invited. And then I do want to encourage you, our Wednesday night training at 6:30 is going to be upgraded and an opportunity for serious training and serious preparation for ministry so that you know what to do and you're part of a team to be able to do it. We're going to have love challenges, monthly challenges to live out God's love in our relationships. So many opportunities that we have. Now, let me just finish quickly. I've given you a lot, everything we already are doing. But he loves us. But I know how easy it is. Did you feel like wilting a little bit? Sure, be honest, you did. Because you can't do it. Well, I don't have the time to get into it, but look at the last phrase of verse 13. He hath given us his spirit. I can't, but he can. I don't have the love. He has the love. I'm telling you over and over, when I didn't have boldness to witness, he did, and he did it through me. When I didn't have the heart to really know what to do or sometimes even to do it with another believer, he did. He loved them and did a miraculous work through me. And you've seen that happen too. He gives you the desire to spend time with him. He gives you the desire to be with God's people to pray. He gives you the desire to invest in discipleship. And that is sacrificial. But my friends, we're going to stand before Jesus before we know it. And there is going to be no excuse with all that he's done and all the love that he has given that we have not given that love to one another and to a lost world. And there'll be no excuse because he's given us everything we need. Friends, you have in your lap the Word of God. And you have the author in your heart who is the immutable, eternal God, the third person of the Trinity. And he makes Jesus real to you. Jesus doesn't give tired. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will give us exactly what we need and the balance, how to make the right choices in our life. It's exciting. Friends, there's nothing more thrilling to get out of a rut and begin to see change, to get rid of addictions, to get rid of wrong habits, to get rid of wrong thinkings, to see priorities change, to see people's lives touched, to all of a sudden realize how much God loves you, and then to start spreading that. Life comes into focus, and Jesus is honored. Friends, he's worthy. He is worthy. It's a big challenge, and yet it's not overwhelming if we just do what God wants us to do. It's a wonderful thing. And so the empowerment comes from above. And may God give us a heart to really believe that God can do it. Let me conclude with this. F.B. Meyer, the great commentator and preacher, said, I left the prayer meeting and crept out into the lane away from town. As I walked, I said, oh my God, if there is a man who needs the power of the Holy Ghost to rest upon him, it is I. And I'm sure we all feel like that. But I do not know how to receive him. I am too tired, too worn, too nervously down to agonize. This is a preacher. A voice came to me. As you took forgiveness from the hand of the dying Christ, take the Holy Spirit, who's already in you, from the living Christ. I turned to Christ and said, Lord, would you breathe this life into me through the indwelling Spirit? I felt no hand upon my head. There was no lambent flame. There was no rushing sound from heaven. But by faith, without emotion, without excitement, I took and took for the first time. And I have kept on taking ever since. And we know F.B. Meyer today, the great, mighty man of God. None of us are mighty It is God that's mighty. And anyone here that wants to see the mighty love of God realized and extended through you, just turn to him and he'll do it. Let's bow for prayer.